Like, you should need 21 Bitcoin to retire. Like, if you don't have 21 Bitcoin, then you're not trying hard enough. That's what I would say.
Do you think that there's going to be another chance to buy under?
Some of these other entities are going to buy up all the Bitcoin, and you're not going to have the means to purchase it anymore. I think it's going to be either too expensive or it's going to be a lot tougher.
I think Zuck could be a bigger Bitcoin bull than Michael Saylor.
If Bitcoin does get overtaken by BlackRock, I think it sets up one of the best hacks of all time.
Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, recurring guest, Carr of Pleb Lab, who's building top builder, the top chef of Bitcoin companies. But first, Carr, there's been a lot of talk about how much Bitcoin you need to retire. Is it 0.1? Do you need a full Bitcoin? Is it 0.21? How much do you need, you think, with this price action that we're seeing and the potential of Bitcoin becoming that global reserve currency?
So my answer is going to be a little bit different. When I first came in, there used to be this highly debate about like 6.15 or 7.2. And it was basically, I always thought that was like a dumb number. It should be 21. Like, you should need 21 Bitcoin to retire. Like, I don't, if you don't have 21 Bitcoin, then you're not trying hard enough. That's what I would say. So like the whole 7, 6, or 3, or 1, no. 21.
Shoot for that 21 then. Hey. So with the price action at where it is, right? We're floating, we're crab walking here. It's getting real boring sitting at just under 100K, Carr. How do you think that's, so theoretically we need 2.1 milli in the bank, right? To get that, if my math is correct here.
I mean, we always have bear markets, and you know, I think this cycle is not going to be any different. Like, we'll get to a peak and then we'll come back down. It's just how it normally plays out. So, you know, just get ready for that buying opportunity. And if you're doing it the right way, you're stacking the entire time, regardless of price. Because at the end of the day, we're gonna transact in Bitcoin. At least that's the vision that we're building for in Pleb Lab.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the vision everybody's building for in the Bitcoin space eventually, right? Well, I think we'll eventually get to Satoshi's vision, the peer-to-peer electronic cash. But you mentioned something interesting about the cycles. Now, with the strategic reserve, with all these big cats coming in now with their bags full of cash just ready to go, do you think that we're still like going to have these big cycles, and that even though right now we're sitting at 96,000, we could eventually get above 100K here in the next week or by the time this episode even comes out as well? Do you think that there's going to be another chance to buy under 100K Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's because of greed, right? Like, there's a lot of fiat Bitcoiners in this ecosystem that hold Bitcoin to sell for fiat. And that's what they want to do. And so once it hits a certain price, they will cash out for dollars and rinse and repeat. And I think we've just seen that time and time again. And at this point, it shouldn't surprise you when it happens. It's just that's just one of those things. I think until we get to a place where we're all using Bitcoin, and it's kind of like the reserve asset to the world or whatever. Like, I think at that point, I think that's when things will a little bit, you won't see those kind of peaks and valleys.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when do you think we start to reach that super cycle? Is it a point in time when we get to the peer-to-peer electronic cash where we're actually transacting more often in Bitcoin before we reach there? Or do you see that not happening for, maybe a couple of decades, or maybe not even in our lifetime?
I think it really just depends on like the Lightning Network and how fast we can get to adoption for that, and then just making payments a little more seamless. Currently at this time, like Apple Pay and Google Pay and some of these other tap to pay cards work just ridiculously well, and it's hard to compete against that, at least if you're a Bitcoiner trying to pay in Lightning or Sats. So I think we have to get to that point, and then we will see like mass adoption. But then there's the aspect of the education part, right? So you have like other countries that need dollars, that need Tether, that need USD, and so they don't have they don't think in savings. They don't see Bitcoin as savings technology. They see it as like spending technology, right? So I think it's just going to take a lot of time. And I think over time, people will start seeing the kind of like, you know, Bitcoin signal and realizing like, okay, you want to pay me in dollars. That's not good. I only accept Bitcoin. And I think once we get there, then at that point, we will see a lot more changes. But when will that happen? I don't know. Definitely not this decade, I would say. before 2140, I would imagine. But that maybe that's too bullish.
Yeah, I don't think you're bullish enough here, Carr. I think like there's more people here right now that will, there's an increasing number by the day of people who will not accept dollars for their Bitcoin, right? There's more people that just want to continue to save, want to find another way to earn maybe dollars so they could spend that and want to hoard away their Bitcoin as long as possible. And that's really what they're aiming for. I mean, Carr, if I were to say to you right now, hey, I'll give you whatever the Bitcoin price is, maybe at a little bit of a premium for your Bitcoin that you have right now, would you sell it and just buy it back? Or would you would you sell it to me just for cash at this point? I would argue that majority of people that I know in the Bitcoin space would probably not do that. But I'm curious your answer on that. Would you sell your Bitcoin right now for fiat?
I don't want to talk about this type of things. I see why you asked though, but I think people just have to decide for themselves and what they're planning for their future. Right. And then just, don't worry about what some person says on the internet. Yeah. Just have your own like conviction and be self-sovereign and just be a good Bitcoiner. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's fair. That's all fair to say, Carr. But there's been a lot of craziness in the Bitcoin space. So let's dive into the strategic reserves talks here. I actually just did a video on this today as we're recording this about the odds of the Bitcoin strategic reserve. It's fallen to 40% according to Polymarket here for the year 2025. So I'm gonna have you call your shot. Do you think it's going to happen here? And do you see any positives or negatives of the potential of a strategic reserve being launched by the entire United States?
I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I think Polymarket's probably a really good good gauge on what the public sentiment is for the most part. I think there's a lot of questions around the strategic reserve as far as like what happens to Bitcoin at that point. Does it become a part of like security and our nation state, and does it then change things? I've talked to somebody from Tampa about this, Wesley. I think you've had Wesley on the pod, and he has some very strong opinions on it. And I kind of side with that kind of logic too as well. It's more questions than it is like answers and stuff. So I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah. So what do you mean? Like you side with Wesley on that? Like if you had to go into your opinion a little bit more on it, what would it be?
I think the way he explained it was that, it then becomes like a thing that the government has to start purchasing, right? Because it becomes like a part of national security. And America loves to win. So that could be good for Bitcoin, but it could also be bad for Bitcoiners living under that nation, because then at some point, does that open up, everybody's Bitcoin getting confiscated at some point? So it just leads to a lot of new doors that that aren't open right now. And so I don't know. It's too early to tell. So I'm kind of a wait and kind of see kind of guy. So I don't want to say anything because I don't know what's going to actually play out. But as it comes, we'll see. But I'm not feeling too strongly one way or another, and just kind of want to wait and see how it plays out.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But the great state of Texas is also talking about it, Carr. And actually like 20 of the states within the United States are talking about it. So it is interesting that, we're having the potential of a strategic reserve or, a crypto stockpile or even a sovereign wealth fund here in the U.S., and then states are saying, hey, if we're not going to go to the strategic reserve, maybe we will start to do that. Now, how do you see this playing out as, somebody that's in the great state of Texas and been very bullish?
Yeah, I think Texas should do it. Yeah, I think Texas should do it. I think they should just leave it up to states. As far as like the United States, I don't know. But I think Texas should have its own should have Bitcoin on reserve. It's a great state. We should have Bitcoin in the treasury of some sort in Texas. So that's my vote. So yes, for sure to Texas. I'm not sure on the United States though.
Okay. So then what do you see as the Yeah, why do you see the key differences in there? Like, line it out for me. Like, let's dive into the mind of Carr. Why do you think it would be better for the states and the individual states to have this as a potential and not necessarily, you know, indifferent on the full United States?
Yeah, I think at a state level, they know their communities better. They know their cities. They know their state very well, and they can decide just with a little bit more kind of due diligence, and it just feels right, especially for Texas. We have a lot of mining companies here. We have a lot of Bitcoin companies here, Plub Labs here, Unchained's here, and to me, it just makes sense. Like, you would have, you would have Bitcoin being held by Texas Treasury of a sort, however that is played out. But so I hope that happens. But as far as the United States, it's kind of tough because, right, like, we had Trump come in and he's launching a meme coin, and like, we have Elon who's also has a meme coin or whatever Doge thing. And like, to me, it's just like a clown show right now. It's like, it's hard to trust that, you know. But it's also probably it's probably Trump's first time ever looking at Bitcoin or crypto. So he's going to have to touch a stove and get burned. So so that's kind of where my logic is coming from. Like, you have to learn Bitcoin the hard way sometimes. And I feel like United States might have to learn Bitcoin the hard way. But I don't think Texas has to, though. I think Texas is not looking at other crypto stuff. It's just looking at Bitcoin. So
that's
the mind. That's the mind that I'm thinking. That's the mind I'm thinking through right now.
Yeah, let's dive into learning about Bitcoin the hard way. Do you mean basically dabbling in the altcoins, the shitcoinery, and then potentially getting burned there, and then having 100%. To go to Bitcoin only later? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I could definitely see that as well. I mean, especially when they're talking about, like, you know, the crypto stockpile and all these other things, they're almost kind of like lining it up for it to not be only a Bitcoin only. But I'm curious your thought on, you know, a lot of these traditional financial guys are now starting to come into Bitcoin, obviously with the ETFs that have been launched like a year ago or so at this point in time. And it's been the most successful ETF launch in history, and it hasn't even been relatively close. And it seems like more and more money is being dumped in. You know, we got people like Larry Fink and all of these guys talking about the sovereign wealth funds that could be potentially dumping 2-5% into Bitcoin here in the near future. Basically, a long-winded question with, Are you worried that you're seeing all of these ETF products and like these big money managers start to scoop up a lot of Bitcoin and, you know, the potential of that? Or, you know, is Bitcoin's decentralization and an ability to, you know, just kind of separate money from state enough to, I guess, avoid the corruptions of potentially from like guys like Larry Fink and BlackRock and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was on here last time, like a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and we were kind of talking about what's going to happen with the ETF. And as far as I know, I think I was the only one that was like fully against it. That I was like really against like Bitcoin being an ETF, because I thought it was going to lead to a lot of like of what we're kind of seeing. So to answer that question, yeah, I think more and more BlackRock and some of these other entities are going to buy up all the Bitcoin, and you're not going to have the means to purchase it anymore. I think it's going to be either too expensive or it's going to be a lot tougher. And I think we probably have another 3 or 4 years left of that. So that's kind of where I see it. Obviously we don't know what the future holds, so it could change, but I think as soon as BlackRock got in, they got in to win. Like, they didn't just get in because it's like a fun thing for them. Just based off of the stuff that I've heard on the back channel, it sounds like they're doing their due diligence as far as like getting people into their door and like asking them a dozen questions and then putting decks together and then actually sending it out. So just from what I'm hearing, they're like full on trying to onboard people faster than I think regular Bitcoiners are trying to orange pill people. So that's what we're up against. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to play out the way it plays out, but yeah, if you're not snacking Bitcoin right now, I mean, it's going to be really tough for you to get some in the future, other than just, you know, starting a Bitcoin business and earning it the hard way. right? By purchasing, getting people to buy things from you.
Yeah, I think it is. It is going to be increasingly more difficult, especially when we see, you know, BlackRock kind of coming in and educating people and, you know, putting out these videos and things like that. But one thing I want to ask you about is, now the ETFs hold more Bitcoin than Satoshi's wallet. So, you know, they're rapidly scooping it up. It obviously is a combination of all of them to do that. But it seems like these guys are, you know, scooping it up and then issuing this paper type of Bitcoin. Now, one worry that I do have is that 8 of the 11 ETFs in the U.S. are custodied by Coinbase. Now, it seems like a lot of these products are kind of being centralized, whether it's an exchange or adding some sort of counterparty risk. Now, maybe it's a little tinfoil hat there, Carr, but, you know, are you wary about Coinbase potentially, you know, issuing paper Bitcoin? Because there's been so many rumors and other things like that kind of flying around. Obviously, Bitcoin doesn't care in the long run. But in the short term, that's something that's been sort of on my mind here lately. So what do you think of that? Or am I just a little crazy here? Which, I mean, obviously I am, but...
I mean, let's hope they're like custodying it correctly and all that stuff, and they actually have it. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I think it sets up one of the best hacks of all time. You know, there has been rumors in the past that Coinbase has gotten hacked. I think it was like 2017. People were sounding the alarm back then, because I think Binance had gotten hacked too as well. And then at that time, I think they wanted to roll back the chain. It was the stupidest thing ever. CZ like came on Twitter and was like, "We need to roll back the chain. We got hacked." It's like, no, it's not how this works. So I think it could potentially lead to one of the biggest hacks of all time, potentially. But I think it's up to the individual, and they need to be a little bit more self-sovereign and figure out how to get that into their hands. And hopefully BlackRock allows them to do that when they do have that ETF, that paper Bitcoin. But we'll see. I mean, it's still early, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anybody that's actually purchased the ETF, if they can actually take hold of that Bitcoin they just purchased. So they can? You cannot. Okay, so I just got verified in the lab. So you cannot take.
No, they actually did just pass this law where they're tossing around. So it hasn't happened yet, but they're tossing this around that you can deposit Bitcoin and take that back out. And they're going to toss that out, and said, I think Larry Fink and the SEC chair said this was like, quote, a no-brainer, and it should have happened initially. But they're actually tossing that around right now, which is a little interesting wrinkle here with all of this ETFs stuff, because it's called like an in-kind distribution, I want to say. So like if you put in Bitcoin, you can get Bitcoin out. So it adds a little bit more liquidity. You can get your money out quicker. It doesn't require BlackRock having to sell Bitcoin in order to give you your cash out. So actually, you know, we actually might see that here in the future. Will they be doing that?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I think that's my biggest kind of red flag there. It's just like, does that lead to a hack at some point? And, you know, because that's a lot of Bitcoin, dude. Like, why would you not, you know? So.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the potentially one of the bigger threats here is at least in the short term, is Coinbase potentially, you know, custodying everything at this point in time, and then, you know, getting intertwined with the US. And if the US does a strategic reserve, they have, you know, somebody like Coinbase or another one of these companies, you know, really coming in and trying to custody their Bitcoin, then that leaves them privy to, you know, a potential hack or some other things. But, you know, with all of this movement and things kind of coming along, right? I think last time we spoke, I was asking you, did you ever think that you would see this kind of come along? Now it seems like everything's here, right? We're having 20 states talk about it. We're having over 20 countries talk about a Bitcoin strategic reserve, sovereign wealth funds talking about it. So, you know, just kind of what are some of your big predictions you got here for 2025 here, Carr? Do you think we get some more giant countries coming on, or anything that you have kind of on the top of your mind as something that you see as the best place to buy Bitcoin in the United States and Canada? Is the Bitcoin Well. You could go to the bitcoinwell.com, /greencandle and sign up today, and they will give you Wishing Well tokens. They are one of the only exchanges in the United States that will give you free sats every time you buy Bitcoin. You have a chance to win 1 million sats every time you buy. You get Wishing Well tokens. You flip the coin down the Wishing Well, and you have the chance to win 1 million sats. You heard me here, folks. 1 million sats. And on top of that, they have the absolute best over-the-counter service where you can make purchases over $50,000, and they will walk you through the whole thing. They have the best rates in the United States and in Canada. And on top of that, they have the best white glove service where they will take you through those giant purchases just so you feel comfortable. You'll get it in cold storage, and it's strictly non-custodial. They are saying, we want you to experience the true power of Bitcoin, and that's self-custody. So go to the well, sign up, bitcoinwell.com/greencandle today. Enough for me, back to the show. Somewhat bullish in the short term for the price action, but it's something that worries you.
Something bullish for the short term. I think all of the above, like, so what you're describing, that's all going to lead to just massive FOMO. And then as far as like the, what is the one thing that I worry about is just people only having paper Bitcoin is my biggest worry. Like I would really hate to see that the vast majority of people just have paper Bitcoin and they don't actually have Bitcoin. And that would be kind of sad to see, but maybe that's what the world wants, you know?
Now, another interesting aspect of all of this is there's become a lot of Sailor copycats, a lot of MicroStrategy copycats. Now, as a guy that's working closely with a lot of businesses, how do you see this evolving over time, especially with the recent FASB ruling of the accounting and having Bitcoin on the balance sheet for private and public companies?
Yeah, remind me of that ruling. I didn't hear about that.
So it just essentially allows, publicly traded companies to report their earnings of the balance sheet as part of their earnings. So it allows for easier accounting regulations and other things as well. So like MicroStrategy, for example, has been reporting almost at a loss here for, I want to say the past like 3 or 4 years in their core business. But because of the Bitcoin on their balance sheet, obviously you've seen the market cap absolutely skyrocket. Well, now they can account some of those earnings on their Bitcoin holdings onto their earnings for the company for, that quarter. So do you think that that's something that, is going to essentially change the game here for the next couple years, like more companies kind of coming onto a Bitcoin standard?
Well, this is kind of what I've been saying like for a really long time. I think for like about a year at this point, I've even written about it on my blog. And I think I've told you multiple times, but I do see like if Bitcoin does get overtaken by BlackRock and a lot of people are holding paper Bitcoin and it gets a little harder to get access to Bitcoin because of the prices or whatever it might be, right? I think at that point, it does make more and more sense to actually have a Bitcoin business that can generate some sort of sats, right? And so, whether that's like a mom and pop shop SMB or whether that's like something bigger like a Yopanky or something, like I think when you're thinking of like what does the future look like, if you don't have like a sats flow business, it's going to be really tough to get access to that Bitcoin. And for me, I actually think it's the second best asset outside of holding Bitcoin itself is a Bitcoin company. And it falls right in line with the MicroStrategy playbook. And I think people might be missing the chance of a lifetime right now to be building something that could potentially lead to, all sorts of, changes like in the future that you're directly skating towards. And when we do Top Builder stuff like that, these is kind of some of the mentorship stuff that we try to dispel with them and try to really get them to think clearly about creating some sort of revenue for their business, especially if that revenue is in Bitcoin.
Yeah, because the revenue in Bitcoin and the revenue and just holding Bitcoin, I think, is very unique. And it works really well in the bull market. But, you know, with seeing the potential of, you know, another downturn that you've kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, like, how do you see businesses evolving and kind of balancing that? Is it going to be allocating a certain percentage of, you know, your cash reserves towards Bitcoin? Or is it going to be going all in and just riding the waves? How do you see this kind of evolving here?
Yeah. So I think there's just more and more, at least the startups and the entrepreneurs and builders that we get coming through Plub Lab, especially this year, I've seen more and more of the TradFi people come in. The second thing I'm seeing is just more interest in building on these kind of adjacent technologies outside of Bitcoin and using Bitcoin more as like a backdoor. It's just a backdoor payment solution. And I'm seeing more and more just regular technology people come through Plub Lab that have skill sets in all these other dimensions of just the greater technology space. And then they ask that Bitcoin question, right? And then we try to give them the mentorship or the needs that they need met for their individual company. And so I think that's what we're kind of skating to now is like, I think Bitcoin is already a thing. It's been a thing. BlackRock has made it a thing. MicroStrategy has made it a thing. We've all done our part. Now it's actually just accepting that and then like making really great companies that also happen to have like a Bitcoin solution attached to it at some, even if it's at a smaller level. And that's kind of what we're focused on these days at Plub Lab is just building really great companies. Before it was like building really great Bitcoin companies. Now it's like, let's just build great companies and get them on a Bitcoin standard, get them taking Bitcoin, get them using Bitcoin, see if it's something that can operate it. I think there was a while there where it was just like we needed to get Bitcoin over the goal line. I think that's already been done at this point. So I think that's just where the at least the builder ecosystem is evolving to. Obviously, there's going to be people that try to scam you and sell their L2 tokens or try to do shit coins, and that's always going to be there. But at the end of the day, it's going to be really hard to make really great companies, especially in this decade, just because of AI and all these other, you know, emerging technologies. So I think it's just a matter of like, hey, like, let's just make a really great company here and get them accepting Bitcoin through the back door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And it seems like you can integrate Bitcoin because, you know, Bitcoin at the end of the day is money, right? So you can integrate that into any sort of business. Now, do you think, I asked you this last time, but getting towards a Bitcoin standard, right? Are you seeing companies more focus on just basically creating like revenue and getting value before just whereas, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, we were looking at companies that were more focused on growth and just almost like burning through VC cash. Do you think getting on a Bitcoin standard for a company is almost going to revolutionize how people look at their own company's balance sheets, especially early on?
So ask me that. What was the first part of that question, Brendan?
So like the previous model 5-10 years ago was, you know, an Amazon or somebody would just essentially go on venture capital dollar for quite some time, right? Yeah. Amazon didn't really make money for a long time until they founded AWS, which is now really their big cash cow. Uber still, for example, does not make any money. If you go look at their balance sheet, they lose every year, but it's on the hope that AI and, you know, self-driving cars, Uber can be at the forefront and operate very cheaply on that. Now, are you seeing companies not necessarily follow that model anymore just because, you know, putting on a Bitcoin standard, you're more focused on actually making revenue, making a good product and service opposed to just living off of venture capital money and then hoping you figure it out down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I don't pay too much attention to the VC space, to be honest. I more focus on like builders and startups and stuff like that. But just from my viewpoint, it does seem like, you know, the past couple years after like the whole SBF thing, it just feel like it just got gutted as far as like Bitcoin, crypto, and then that whole market. It does feel like it's coming back though. Like price does help. And so just basically off of what I'm seeing, stuff that's getting funded in the space is more around these like L2s and eCash solutions. And so it's a very hard for like a company that's trying to do something innovative, like a Jippy that's trying to create a new type of like, you know, AR, like put like XR type of real world thing that integrates Bitcoin. Like those fresh ideas aren't really, you know, sought after, unfortunately, in the VC space, especially in the Bitcoin VC space. But I think in time they will start getting the message that this is where the technology is going. And I think it just integrates really, really well with this like new generation of Bitcoiners, like the Gen Z that's coming through, like, you know, selling them on hard money and like the Bitcoin standard's just not going to cut it anymore. Like you're going to get, that's why you're losing the crypto battle. And so there's people that believe in that hypothesis. And I think, you know, I think there'll always be room for that, but I do think there's a new generation of builders and Bitcoiners that are going to be coming looking for really amazing products. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you need to be building is just amazing. Your product that, and just try to make it as amazing as possible. And hopefully that answers your question.
And no, it does. And I think that that's going to be kind of the way of business is kind of at least what I'm foreseeing. But it is interesting. We're seeing a lot of these companies now start to come on to, you know, a Bitcoin standard, or at least talking about it. We have three in the Magnificent Seven. I mentioned Amazon already. I believe they vote on that in April. We've got Mark Zuckerberg, and I've got a theory on him later that maybe we can dive into.
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty, but simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's scored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm going to help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at The Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign.
Let's dive into that.
Yeah.
I think Zuck could be a bigger Bitcoin bull than Michael Saylor. And before you start freaking out, I'll tell you.
No, I think
why.
He actually holds Bitcoin already, Zuck.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
So he has the two goats, Bitcoin and Maxi. Yeah, he's a smart guy. He tried to build a shit coin a while ago. But the caveat with all this is that he owns a bigger percentage of Meta and has the full voting power of Meta.
Oh, interesting.
And has a higher market cap than MicroStrategy. Now Strategy had at the time when Michael Saylor implemented this. So theoretically, he could buy more Bitcoin than Michael Saylor and put it on the balance sheet of Meta and really just go all in if he were to implement this quote flywheel.
And that's kind of fallen in line exactly what I'm seeing on the ground too, because like there's just more of those type of individuals that are interested in Bitcoin this cycle than they were last cycle. And it kind of makes sense, right? Like, of course somebody like Zuck is going to onboard Bitcoin onto his balance sheet. He's not a dumb guy. Like he's building for the future and he plans on leveraging it in some way, right? And so when these guys say they don't pay attention to other things, they pay attention. Like they're not dumb. So I just think that we're so early, like as far as like these cool new companies that are coming out, like the Jippies, you know, like the Cozies, like it's going to be really interesting to watch them grow and develop like in the next, you know, couple years. Yeah.
And I think, you know, these giant guys, the billionaire guys, the founders who have basically ridden their company from the ground up, I think that they get a little competitive, these billionaires, right? They see Michael Saylor kind of have the flash of the Bitcoin space. You know, I know Bezos has kind of had his new like hot young girlfriend that he's tossing around, and Zuck is sort of, you know, messing with his haircut, popping the gold chain. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see, you know, some of this rebranding include Bitcoin. So that's just basically my tinfoil hat theory, or
that's
maybe
a good, I think you're right
here, where I think
you're right. I think all right, like wouldn't that be an amazing bull run of like all these these FANG companies get on a Bitcoin standard. Like, wouldn't that be cool? Like, that'd be really cool. I could totally see that happening this year too. Good call.
Yeah.
This is why I listen to Green Candle. This is why I listen to Green Candle. So I want to know when the Green Candle's coming.
Yeah, exactly. At least one, maybe two of the Magnificent Seven will come on board. And then my next theory is, you mentioned it earlier about the tap to pay. If Apple gets on a Bitcoin standard, they're going to be the one that kind of revolutionizes that with like the Apple Pay integrating Bitcoin on there. But maybe that's another discussion, because I think the UI of just being able to pay on Bitcoin, it is a little tough right now, right? You got to pull out your phone, do the apps, all that kind of stuff, and then get to the QR. Takes a couple minutes. But if you could get the users their ability to pay really quickly without you even knowing you're using Bitcoin, then more people would use it, at least in my opinion. So I know the founders might be listening to this. So if you guys take that idea, feel free to have it. I have no capability to build that.
Dude, it'd be interesting to see what Apple does at some point, because I'm not sure if they actually get Bitcoin. I mean, there was, I don't know if you saw it, but on Stacker News, there was like the Bitcoin white paper was buried in like the latest OS like a couple years ago. So there are Bitcoiners inside of Apple that have invested in Bitcoin companies. I just know that for certain. And then there's also Bitcoiners inside of Apple that work there now, and they're hiding Bitcoin stuff in the thing. So it would be interesting to see like what actually would happen. With like Tim Cook and like what he would do. Let me know when you get that news, Brandon. When you get that scoop.
Well, Tim Cook has actually come out and said that he owns Bitcoin, but he has said that the Apple is not going to consider putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet or anything like that. So it is a little interesting. He's been like a little wary when it comes to Apple, but I mean, if you look around, you can buy Apple products with Bitcoin. There's like websites that you can do that right now.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of like kind of tea leaves here when you look at it from the Magnificent Seven car. I think that there is maybe if I got the crystal ball, the genie here, maybe if I do foresee at least one, maybe two coming onto a Bitcoin standard in the near future, just strictly because of the success we've seen from MicroStrategy. And now we're seeing a bunch of other copycats pop up all over the globe. So I think it's going to revolutionize business, and it's going to start to flip some things on its head, which I think you're seeing already, right? A lot of things being flipped on their head, and a lot of innovation coming in through Pleb Lab.
Yeah, I think they pay attention to that, like, so, because a lot of people are building on these app stores that Apple controls or Google controls. So they're looking right at all the data in front of them. So I think at some point they are going to, start doing some of this stuff. And I'm just curious to see like how they go about doing it. Will it be something they just build from the ground up, or is it something where they just buy a bunch of Bitcoin companies that already do this infrastructure stuff? Or is it something that they'll just get a third party person to do? So I'm curious to see how it plays out. Like, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun to watch, and we'll buckle up for a lot of those green candles, right? So, but you've been building one of the coolest things, I think, in Bitcoin, which is Top Builder. I alluded to it earlier, said it's the top chef for Bitcoin companies. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on there, Carr, and what you guys got going on down in Pleb Lab?
Yeah, so since October of last year, we were at TapConf, and we announced Top Builder Season 2. And this year we have Timestamp as a great sponsor. The year before we had Wolf was a great sponsor. And, and so we put together the same format, right? Send out the Bitcoin signal to builders to get a chance to win 15K in Bitcoin. That's pretty simple enough. And we're trying to find the top builder. So it's an 8-week program. We started recruiting last year. It had a significant amount of traction. We went on your pod. We went on Simply Bitcoin. We went on all those podcasts and like talked about it. And we had some good signups, and so we kicked off everything in the first week of January, and we're already in the second round. We have like 12 teams left that we just announced last week. We've been doing workshops, mentorship sessions, stand-ups, and just, dude, for me, like, I've never been busier. Like, and I love being busy, but it's like it takes a lot of time. And so we're gonna get down to the top five. So the top five teams will be coming to Austin for Startup Day. That's happening Thursday, March 13th, and you'll be there. And so we'll have like, we'll have those teams present in front of people like Marty Bent, Nifty Nay, and Armon, and some other, oh, Danny from What Bitcoin Did. So we'll have like some people that will be judging, and then they'll pick the top builder. Last year, Francisco from Yopaki won, and he got 15K in Bitcoin and went on to do great things. Now he's building out an exchange for Latin America, which is kind of nuts to see the growth and trajectory of Yopaki. So potentially you win, your life could change. I don't know. But at least that was the hope initially when we first started doing it a year ago. And we're hoping second season this year kind of leads to the same for that next company. But we'll see. There's supposed to be a lot of big names that are coming. We'll have Bitcoin news there. You'll be here. We're trying to get, some more people to come to share things. We'll also have like some announcements from companies inside of Plub Lab, and then we'll also have some panels and some speaker stuff that we're looking forward to. Also, Joe, who's the CEO of Unchained, is going to do the keynote that morning, so he'll share some knowledge that he has that I'm looking forward to. And overall, it's going to be a great week. There's some other stuff they're doing inside the Commons on Friday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And so it's going to be a full week during South By for Bitcoin. Ours is on Thursday. Tickets are on sale right now. You can get them for $149. Just want to reach out to the Green Candle audience and see if they want to come to Austin and have fun, hang out at Plub Lab, cheer on these early stage companies and, encourage them, because it's really hard to build on Bitcoin. Really, really tough. And so any kind of encouragement that the Green Candle audience can provide would be great.
My favorite thing about Bitcoin is meeting Bitcoiners in person. That's why I'm so excited to tell you guys about what is going on June 14th down in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida. That's the Sound Money Soiree paired with Bitcoin Day. They're bringing a full day of great talks with amazing speakers like your boy here. And we're topping it off with a black tie event just for you and bring in that hot lady friend. We had Bitcoin cross 100K. We're all getting girlfriends, folks. So come on down to beautiful Tampa, Florida. And if you use the link below, you will get 10% off your entire order, whether you want to go to just the black tie event or black tie event plus Bitcoin Day, you'll get 10% off using the links below. Also, if you're thinking about going to BitBlock Boom in April, if you're going to Vegas in May, or if you're thinking about going to Prague in June, use my promo code GREENCANDLE for all of those. You'll get 10% off your entire order. And come bug me. I hope to see you guys very soon at one of these great in-person events. Enough from me. Back to the show.
Yeah, everybody should come on down to Austin, check out these great companies that are building on it, hear some great talks, and there might even be some potential there. I know some of the companies are always looking for people looking in to get into the Bitcoin space too. So if you're looking for a job, it might be a good opportunity for you to get in on a company early, see where you can help provide value and a bunch of other things. And yeah, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of the community in Austin. As a guy that grew up in Austin, it always brings me a lot of pride to see what Carr and the fellas are doing. But what's one thing that everybody should look forward to if they're coming to Austin, either for the first time or that they have to do during South By? I know there's a ton of live music, yeah, drinks, food. What do you recommend, Carr?
Definitely try the barbecue. At least try a few different spots. So if you're traveling to Austin, you should always try the barbecue, but try like three or four different spots. Try the tacos. There's a lot of different types of tacos here. And then you definitely come to Plub Lab. Definitely come to Startup Day. And then also, like, we're going to have a Shiners after party. So that's going to be a ton of fun on that Thursday. Just come hang out, meet everybody, hang out with Candles right here. He'll be there, and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Are we going to have, I don't know if I want to spoil it, but is Chef Johnny going to be making an appearance as
well?
Oh,
yeah, he is. Yeah. So Johnny's coming in and doing all the catering for Startup Day. So he's going to have some tomahawks and stuff like that. So yeah, even with that ticket, you get breakfast, lunch, and a cool after party at the end. And you get to watch, like, witness the next top builder, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you get to witness. Yeah, I mean, and Chef Johnny's meal alone might be worth the ticket price. I mean, every time I come back, I get spoiled. Yeah. I'm like, man, we get this great food here. And Chef Johnny is just, oh my God, it's so great. Yeah. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. So,
yeah, it's totally worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. Where can people go to find out more about Top Builder? Maybe follow along with everything here going on. Maybe get some updates on the teams, get to know a little bit of the founders. Where can they go?
Yeah. So you can go to pleblab.dev. There's a startup day link there. You click on it or follow us on Twitter at pleblab. And we're making announcements for speakers, for panels in the coming weeks. And yeah, we're just super excited, super grateful to Timestamp for sponsoring the thing and giving us the avenue to do everything. So it's gonna be a great time. And honestly, like, I think for that ticket price, $149, you're getting like two great meals and an after party at the end that we're trying to get sponsored, so maybe the tab will be covered. And so we're trying to do all these things, and at the same time you get to hang out with people like Brandon, myself, and other people at Plub Lab, and yeah, a whole group of people. So it's gonna be a great time. Like, gonna hang with the plebs.
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. I highly recommend it. Maybe you'd want to hang out with Carr a little bit more than me. I don't know how great of a time I am. I'm just kidding. I'm sure I'll be ripping and rolling. We'll be chugging some beers and doing some fun stuff down in Austin. It's always a great time. But Carr, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate it. We will send everybody to Pleb Lab. Everybody come on down to Austin, get your Cowboys hats ready, get some Lone Star beers in your belly, and come and join the plebs. So Carr, any final words before we send it off here?
Yeah, if you're interested in doing anything in Bitcoin, as far as building on it or looking for a job or anything like that, reach out to me, Carr, at pleblab.com. Or if you're interested in building a Bitcoin startup or a Bitcoin company, go to pleblab.dev and apply.
Yep. And I'll put all that in the show notes as well. And be sure to reach out to Carr, just bug him a bunch, and come down to Austin, meet him in person. He's the man, the myth, the legend. I know I say it at the beginning of the show, but I truly mean it when it comes to Carr. So man, Carr, thanks so much.
No, thank you, Brandon. Cool.
Thank you for tuning into the latest episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you really enjoyed this one, I've got another one cooking up for you. You can click that right here, and you can go to the next episode, which is an absolute banger, where you know I'm bringing you only the latest and greatest guest. Or if you're looking for more macro-related content, you could check out my other channel, Macro Insights Pod. I got it linked for you right here. So where I'm bringing you more about stocks, real estate, traditional finance stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, enough from me. I'll see you at the next one.